Welcome back to the Book of Titus on Through the Word, Chapter 3 today, and Peyton Jones is back with us. Peyton, remind us where we left off with Paul's letter to Titus.
If you remember, Titus was given a mission impossible, and his mission, should he choose to accept it, was to appoint elders in every city who would preach the word.
Basically, Titus had to bring some order to the church, and really to create church where there was none. There were Christians there, as Paul had stopped there quite literally by accident, and lots of people were saved. But brand new believers need some direction. They have serious life changes to deal with. And you know, it kind of reminds me of a church I got invited to help in Long Beach by a crazy church planter friend of mine, Peyton. And when I showed up, there was a bunch of new believers, and they were straight off the street. We had prostitutes, cross-dresser, rival gang members, guys straight out of prison, all in one place, singing to Jesus and hearing the word. And it was awesome. It was gospel power in action. And praise God, the gospel is powerful. Because I remember this. One Sunday morning, you were telling me the record on some of what these guys had done time for. And we had this moment of reality striking us as we were standing there, that we had some seriously dangerous people. And one of us said, this grace thing better work or we're in serious trouble. And it does. Man, we have seen lives change so radically, but those new lives, those believers need help and support from a healthy church. That means mature leaders providing wisdom and guidance and regular fellowship for growing believers. So what does Paul tell Titus? How does that kind of change take place?
In order for that life change to happen, those elders that Titus was going to leave behind on the Isle of Crete were going to need to hold fast to the Word of God, because a Word of God can accomplish three key things: to teach sound doctrine, to exhort or encourage good behavior, and to rebuke the undesirable behavior.
Now, this point is essential to Titus's letter. At the heart of a healthy church is good teaching. Not just good as in dynamic or interesting, good as in sound, faithful teaching of God's word. It's not the only thing in a church, but it is a foundational thing. Without sound teaching, the building will crack on a weak foundation.
So let's jump into the encouragement. Verse 1 and verse 2 remind people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. Submission is a key part. If you remember way back in chapter 1, Paul talked about coming under these mission directives. In other words, being dominated by this higher calling. You see, when you submit, you actually are yielding to Jesus, and you show you're yielding to Jesus through yielding to these other people. Paul here describes a model citizen, somebody who obeys the law, helps out in the community when there's a need, doesn't gossip about the neighbors, and knows how to be considerate towards the people around them.
These two verses are about getting along with others in society and your neighbors around you. I got to say, this one really comes to light in a church like Long Beach. When a precious soul gets saved from gang life, from ghetto, drugs, all of it, submission to authority is a new concept. But there's one crucial element to watch here. It's the order. Order of operations. I'm a math guy. I like order. You do not tell a person to change their ways to become a Christian. It just won't work. So back in Titus, how does this work?
Well, this is where the doctrine comes in. That's why Paul says you can't just exhort and rebuke people. You have to give them the reason. That's why there's the what behavior should change. But more important than that is the why question. The why question is super important because it usually is connected to the how. Everybody likes the person that Paul described as a model citizen and wants them for a neighbor. But if everybody likes them, then how come most of us don't seem to act like that kind of neighbor? Because it has to be more than an act. We need an inward transformation if we're going to change. And we get that inward transformation by allowing God to be that for us first. You see, Paul says in verse 3, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be more careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Notice that Paul uses the word profitable here. This is because the island of Crete was a port town. Everyone who came through there, the islanders saw it as an opportunity to make more money. They looked at people as people to get things from. They would extort. They would take bribes. They would rip people off. They would steal. Maybe you've been to an island community before. Maybe a tourist trap where it felt like everybody wanted to get your money. They wanted to take a lot more than they gave to you. But here, when Paul describes the gospel, he purposefully chooses his language to be giving. He poured out his grace. Not only poured it out, but he says he poured it out generously on us. He saved us by his own grace that we might become heirs. God is not wanting to take from us, Paul is saying. He's giving. He wants to give to you. And what he's doing here is he's teaching them, as those who have experienced God's grace and love and mercy, how to view everyone else around them that God also wants to save. And this would have been completely radical for them. Notice that at the end, Paul says, this is a trustworthy saying. That harkens back to the description he gives of the Cretans, that they were liars according to the poet's description of them. That was their reputation. Paul at the beginning says, God who cannot lie. And here he says, this is a trustworthy saying. This is something that you can trust. No one is out to deceive you. God is not out to rip you off. He's wanting to give to you because he loves you. For the Cretans, this would have transformed how they approach life in general and everyone else around them. This would have been transformational to their way of thinking.
You know, back at Long Beach, the most important concept, the one that transforms lives, is the grace of God. God just loves you for you, and he adopted you. You're his kid now. When you release that truth, it's like a love grenade in someone's life. It turns everything around.
That's the preciousness of when he says that he has made you heirs. You're just inheriting. You didn't have to kill, lie, deceive. You were just given it. And Paul mentions that we were all this way. All of us did this. This is all inclusive. It didn't matter who you were. Even at your vilest, God poured out his love, mercy, and grace. That's why he comes in strong with the rebuke here in verse 9. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. The reality is the law is abolished. It's done away. It doesn't even matter when you're dealing with a grace like this, a gospel like this. You don't waste your time with that. What about you today? Have you come to see how precious you are to God? And therefore, seeing that, have you seen how precious the people around you are to him also? Do you see how badly that they need to see that transformation in your heart? To see how God has treated you first and the result that it's had on your life? Paul gives his closing remarks in the chapter and then leaves us with a final exhortation, verse 14, ringing in our ears. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive or unprofitable lives.
Everyone out there, read Titus 3 today. Open your word and let God's grace transform your heart.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.